Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words that we find in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each and every one of you that have come to our communion service this morning, whether you're a regular attendee, whether you're a guest, all baptized, repentant believers are heartily welcome. For an opening scripture passage, I'd like to turn to something that is very familiar, to John chapter 3. I'd like to start in verse 14 and read through verse 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thus far, let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house to commemorate your suffering, your death, to show our praise to you that we love you, that we appreciate your willingness to leave the beauty of heaven and come into this world to redeem us. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts, that grants us peace and comfort, even though there might be turmoil around us. Lord, we look to you for strength and for courage to go on. We look to you to lead and guide us through our communion service this morning. You know, Lord, you know each heart that is gathered here. You know the needs of each of us individually. And Lord, we praise you for that. And I just pray that you in a special way continue to provide the needs, whether it's physical healing, spiritual healing, comfort, peace. Lord, just make yourself known to them. We also pray for those that would like to be here and cannot due to circumstances. May your spirit be with them as well. May you grant healing. May you grant comfort and peace for those individuals. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for your hand of healing to be upon us. We pray for our leaders that they'll look to you for discernment, for wisdom, that they may continue to lead us. We thank you, Lord, for providing us with a beautiful, free, and a rich country. Forgive us for so often overlooking these blessings and taking them for granted. Lord, continue to guide and lead us. Keep us in your loving arms. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we have one congregational song to start off, please.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 8, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That was page 8.
Father's throne, may God
As we look to our opening scripture passage, it speaks of God's love, and it makes reference to Moses in the Old Testament as he was leading the Israelites, and they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, and the one time they had poisonous snakes in their camp. Many people died, and God pleaded on behalf of the people's case, and he got instructions. And we might say they seemed a little, in our thinking, absurd, where Moses had to make a snake out of brass, put it on a pole, set it up, and if someone got bitten by a poisonous snake and they looked at the snake on the pole, they would not die. You know, God's ways are interesting. They're not our ways, and we will not always understand them. But the beautiful thing is, when we trust in what the Lord has prepared for us, we are at peace. We have a Savior. And then we go on, as you read that opening passage, that whoever believes in the Son of God does not need to perish. You know, even though our physical lives have an expiry date, there's a day we will all die unless the Lord comes early and raptures us out of this world. But the day of death is nothing to fear for us as Christians, because we have eternal life waiting for us in heaven. And then God spoke these words, for God so loved the world. It wasn't just because he wanted to do something nice, but it was a deep love for us, his creation. When God created the first man, it was a special experience. It was something where everything else he had created, he spoke and things became or came into existence. But for creating the first man, God took of the dust of the ground in which he had spoken into place. He had a hands-on, we might say, miracle. He formed a man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became more than just a living being. He became a living soul. We have a soul within us that is not made of flesh and blood, but it is something that God has breathed into us. And when we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a void, there's an emptiness in that soul. And that is why God came into this world. He saw that making animal sacrifices, spilling innocent blood, because animals don't have soul and therefore they were innocent, wasn't something we as a human people could really keep up with. So he had a divine plan that he himself would come into this world and provide the supreme sacrifice. And Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. We see that very clearly in our passage here, but he came to save us. You know, sometimes the non-Christian views the Christian life as a life of do's and don'ts. And that is as far from the truth as it can come. The Christian life is a love relationship between our Creator, between us and Jesus Christ, between us and our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and as we love Christ, it is lived out in our everyday life. The old desires, the old things that maybe gave us some satisfaction for a short time, become unimportant. Christ came to redeem us, to save us. And this morning, we want to remind ourselves of what it cost Christ to provide salvation for you and me. You know, sometimes when we want something that is important to us, we will save money, we will work hard and buy it. Here's something that is free, irregardless of your financial status, irregardless of how rich or how poor you are. We all have to come to the one and same Savior, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And I trust everyone here has committed his or her life to Christ, and that today we'll have fellowship with Jesus, we might say spiritually. Even though we will be breaking bread and drinking from the cup, the real center attraction here is Jesus Christ. We don't see him in person, but we feel him living in the depths of our heart. And the communion message, I'll be paraphrasing it this morning, and it is based on the first four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But before I read or go into that, I'd also like to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, picking up in verse 23 through verse 29. These were the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The Apostle Paul made it very clear this wasn't his own idea. This wasn't he who had instituted communion or was the one that thought this was a nice thing to do, but he followed the instructions of Jesus Christ. And likewise today, we are gathered here around the table of communion to remind ourselves of what Jesus instituted at the Passover feast just before his capture and his death on the cross. Jesus had given his disciples instructions. You know, you go into town, there's a certain place, you go and you prepare for us to commemorate the Passover. The Passover was a thing the Jews or the Israelites commemorated once a year on a yearly basis. They reminded themselves of their exodus of Egypt, where they had been enslaved and treated badly. And after many plagues and trials, the last and final plague was where the angel of death would come into that city or into that country, and the oldest child of each household would die. But God gave very specific instructions to the Israelites, and he says, the night before this angel of death comes into your community, you kill a lamb, you sprinkle the blood, and you take and smear it over your doorposts, you roast the meat, and you eat it. And the next morning, Scripture tells us how there was a lot of crying and mourning in the land because the oldest in each household had died. But of the households of the Israelites, not one person died that night. And then the king wanted them out of his country, and they fled. And they had some specific instructions on what to take with them. One of them was to take bread with no yeast in it. And therefore today, to this very day, when we partake of this bread, it is unleavened bread. And as Jesus sat at the table with his disciples, and they were about to commemorate the Passover, he did something that was very unusual. And you know, Christ, to this very day, he isn't about the usual. He is about miracles. He's about helping us do things that we might say are humanly not possible. And he took on the role, we might say, of the lowest servant in the household. You know, the lowest servant in the household would be the one that would greet the guest, wash their feet, and make sure they were welcomed and comfortable. Here Jesus, whom the disciples had looked up to as someone that led them, someone that taught them, someone they loved deeply, he took a towel, he wrapped it around himself, he went from one to the other, and he washed their feet. Taking on the role of a servant. And as he comes to Peter being more outspoken and sort of feeling this just isn't appropriate, he says, no, I should be the one washing your feet. And Jesus says, no, you know, today it'll be different. And then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. You know, he is a little, we might say, out of the ordinary. But Jesus washes his feet, and then he sits down and he teaches them what this was supposed to exemplify: humbleness, a servant attitude. You know, and we as Christians, we bear the name of Christ, and we too should have a humble servitude attitude, being willing to reach out to serve others. And as he's sitting at the table, he tells them that one of them is going to betray him. You know, and they sort of start asking among themselves, is it me? Is it you? And then Jesus makes it clear, he that's going to dip the bread in the sop with me, he will be the one that betrays me. And it was revealed, it was Judas. And then Jesus takes of the bread, he breaks it, he blesses it, and he distributes it to the disciples. And he says, this represents my broken body. And then he takes of the cup, prays the blessing, distributes it among them, and he tells them this to exemplify my spilt blood. You know, the disciples must have wondered, what is he talking about? You know, for you and me today, we have the story. We know what happened. We understand. But his disciples didn't know of his capture, of his trial, and so forth, and that he would die and resurrect a few days later. And after they had partaken of the communion meal, they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus, he was in agony. He was having a difficult time with what God's plan was for him. And even though Jesus was God himself in human flesh, yet he had the human emotions and feelings that you and I have. And he struggled. And he separated a few of his disciples, went a short distance, and asked them to sit there and pray for him. And he went a little further on his own, and he pleaded with his heavenly Father whether there wasn't another way how this could all be fulfilled. It comes back to his disciples. What does he find? They're fast asleep. And this happens three times. And after the third time, he says to them, you know, keep on sleeping. You know, the one that is about to betray me and the ones that are going to capture me, they're on their way. And then as they walked out of the garden, here comes Judas, who had already beforehand agreed that he would show those that wanted to capture Jesus who this Jesus was by kissing him. And he comes up to Jesus, and Jesus does something full well knowing that what Judas's intent is. He calls him friend. And Judas kisses him. They capture Jesus. They tie him up. Today we might say they put handcuffs on him, which I'm assuming they didn't have in that day, and they're about to lead Jesus away and take him to trial. And Peter, he sort of takes matters in his own hand. He takes a sword, and he starts swinging it and cuts off one of the soldier's ears. And Jesus reprimands Peter, and he says, you know, this isn't the way we do things. You know, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And he picks up the ear, and he heals it back in place. You know, a thought that has come to mind is, this same soldier, at the end of the day, when he put his head on the pillow and sort of was reflecting what he had experienced throughout the day, he must have thought in himself, that wasn't just another man that we captured and condemned to die. That must have been something out of the ordinary. It must have been God himself in human flesh. And then Jesus is led before the high priest. He's falsely accused, you know, and absolutely zero respect for him. Where the soldiers that stood by, they slapped him in the face, they spit on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, just mocked him in whatever way they could humanly think of. And Jesus had also warned Peter, you know, you're going to deny me tonight yet. And Peter had said, no, that's not going to happen. But as he's following from a distance and sitting around a fire and trying to keep himself warm, there was three different maids that came and they spoke to him and said, you know, you're one of those that was with Jesus. And each time, Peter denied it. And after the third time, when the rooster crowed, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. And it tells us where Jesus turned around and he looked at Peter. Doesn't record him saying a word, but Peter's guilt came in immediately, and he realized what he had done, and he was sorry, and it tells us he went out and he wept bitterly. You know, the right thing to do when we've sinned, when we've done wrong, to confess our sins, to weep over our sin and ask the Lord's forgiveness. For Judas, it was a very different story. You know, and We don't know exactly what Judas's thinking has been, but you know, he was the one that carried the purse, or he was a treasurer, and he obviously had a love for money. And he had agreed. He had agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, in the other times when they had tried to capture Jesus, Jesus sort of removed himself from the people that were there to get him, and he wasn't there. And I'm sort of assuming Judas thought this is going to happen again, but it didn't. And when he saw how things were turning and how things were going, he went and brought back the money. We might say he wanted to pay for his sin. He gave the money back. They didn't want it back, so he just threw it back in. He went out, and out of desperation, he hung himself. You know, what a sad ending to life. And he could have had the same forgiveness as Peter had, but he turned to the wrong source, and that was to himself. You know, brothers and sisters, when we have sinned, let's turn to Jesus. Let's never keep on spanking ourselves, in a sense, feeling badly, but asking Christ to forgive us, and with his help, to put those things behind us and forgive ourselves as well. Then as Jesus was taken from one judge to another, he ends up before Pilate. And Pilate had a custom in his day that at the time of the Passover, they would release one prisoner. And Pilate had been warned by his wife, you know, don't have anything to do with this man. You know, I've suffered in a dream this last night because of him. So Pilate sort of thinks, well, I'm going to free Jesus. And he says to the people, you know, here's Barabbas, he's a prisoner, and he's done a great crime. And here's Jesus, you know, he's done nothing. Who do you want me to release to you? You know, and the mob mentality was no different than the mob mentality is today when people gather for the wrong reasons. And they cried out, free Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And Pilate tried three different times to get Jesus to be freed, but the crowd, they just kept on cheering and crying out, free Barabbas, we want Jesus crucified. So finally, Pilate gives in. He washes his hands before the people, and he says, I am innocent of this blood. And the people cry out, his blood be on us and our children. You know, that is something they did not realize, how deep and what they were really asking for. Those kinds of consequences, they live on for generations and generations. And then Pilate allows Jesus to be scourged, to be whipped. He was taken to Golgotha, where he was to hang between two criminals. And as he is on the cross, one of the criminals engages him in conversation, and he says, you know, if you're the Christ, why don't you just say so, and we'll step off of this cross. And the other reprimands the first, and he says, you know what, this, you and I are getting what we deserve, but this man, he is innocent. He is not guilty of what he is getting today. And as Jesus hung on the cross, we have seven times recorded in Scripture where he spoke. We might say, despite of the agony he was in, he still spoke, he still loved, he still reached out to those around him. Luke chapter 23 records in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is something difficult for us to fully imagine. Despite being nailed to a cross, despite being enduring excruciating pain, he still prays on behalf of those that are mistreating him. And then secondly, Luke 23:43 records Jesus as saying, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, those were the words he spoke to the thief on the cross next to him that reprimanded the first. And he says to Jesus, remember me when you're in your kingdom. And then Jesus says to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, the most beautiful words that we're anticipating to hear when we take our final breath on this side of eternity. And then thirdly, John records in chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You know, despite of what he was going through, he still cared for his mother, for his brother John, and he wanted them to take care of each other. Then fourthly, Matthew and Mark both record in Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, when you and I go through life, we might sometimes lose relationships, we might lose friends, family might betray us, we might experience all sorts of things, and we might feel very alone. But brothers and sisters, when those things happen, we have Jesus to turn to. We have Jesus to ask for comfort and peace to help us through. But here is Jesus. He turned to his Heavenly Father, and we might say his Heavenly Father turned a blind eye. And Jesus felt so forsaken, something you and I can't even begin to imagine, how alone, how forsaken he felt. He had to endure this for the sake of saving you and me. Then fifthly, John 19:28 records where Jesus said, I thirst. Did they give him a drink of fresh, cool water? No. They soaked a sponge with vinegar, put it on a reed, held it up to him, and expected him to maybe suck in some of this vinegar. A very bitter taste, not refreshing at all. They kept on being cruel to him. And then in John 19, verse 30, it is recorded where Jesus says, it is finished. He knew that his mission was complete. And Luke 23:46 says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just an ordinary man dying. When he died, great miracles happened. There was a darkness over the entire land for 3 hours. Those that had died earlier, some were resurrected and went back to be with their families. The veil in the front of the temple, a curtain where the high priest would go behind a couple of times a year to make sacrifice on behalf of the people, that curtain tore in half, opening up the way to Christ, opening up the way to salvation. Today, you and I don't confess our sin to a high priest and that he makes sacrifices on our behalf. Today, our high priest is Jesus Christ. We come to him through prayer and in spirit. We confess, we ask, he provides for our daily needs. And the beautiful thing is, even though Jesus died, and some people might have thought, this is the end of a good man, he resurrected on the third day, proving that Satan had lost his battle. You know, brothers and sisters, we are the victorious people. Irregardless of what happens around or to us, we are the victors. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, and in verse 57, we read, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior, for being our salvation. Amen. Before Jesus' suffering and death, he celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples one final time. And likewise, too, we want to remind ourselves of Jesus' suffering and his death as we share this communion meal. But before we do so, I want to give each of you the opportunity to pray for your own personal needs, to ask for forgiveness of unconfessed sin, so that each of us here may be worthy to partake of these elements. For those that are able, please kneel with me for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we read where Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And so we too want to take the bread, ask the blessing, and distribute it to you. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for your demonstration of love, a love so deep that words cannot describe, a willingness beyond all willingness to leave the beauty of heaven and to come into this world and to allow your sinless body to be broken, to be beat, to be nailed to a cross, and that you died that we might have spiritual life. Lord, we just praise you for that. We ask for your blessing upon the bread, and as we break it and partake of it, may it make us mindful of your broken body. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We will distribute the bread at this time, and then after you've all been served, we will all together eat it at the same time. And if there's someone that would like gluten-free, we have some gluten-free crackers available, please let us know, and you will be served those as well. I'd like to ask the song leaders to lead us in song, please.
Take the red hymn book and turn to page 125. Hark, the Master's voice is pleading.
Proclamation. 168.
We'll tarry by the living waters.
We'll tarry by the living waters. By the fount of life.
After having served the bread, I'd like to ask, have we missed anyone? Please let us know. If we continue on in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, eat in remembrance of Jesus' broken body. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And so too, if you want to take the cup, ask the blessing and serve it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you. We thank you for your spilled blood, your blood that washes our sin white as snow. We praise you for that. And Lord, as we are about to partake of this cup, we ask that you will really impress on us your sacrifice and what it cost to provide salvation for us. We ask for your blessing upon us. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll distribute the cup, and if you would prefer grape juice instead of wine, please let us know, and we'll gladly serve that to you. And as soon as you have received the wine or the juice, feel free to drink it right away, and that way you don't need to try to juggle between a hymn book and a cup of juice. So feel free to drink it as soon as you have received it. I'd like to ask the song leaders to lead us in singing.
Take the blue book and turn to page 34. How great thou art. Page 34.
My soul, my Savior, God, to thee.
Number 53. Turn to page 330, There is Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from the
478, I need you every hour.
334.
I'd like to ask, have we missed anyone? Please let us know if we have. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 26, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." When it says shew, another interpretation would be proclaim. Each of us here today has proclaimed our love for Christ. We have proclaimed to others that we're in love with Jesus Christ. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace at the close of our service, and we thank you for making us worthy to participate in communion. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to go the way of the cross, providing salvation so full and so free. Thank you, Lord, for your inner peace that we experience when we have a relationship with you. And Lord, there's individuals that are struggling. And Lord, you know how Abram Weeb came in this week and struggled with comfort and with peace. And he asked us, Lord, to pray for him that his inner joy and peace may return. May you bless him. We pray, Lord, for Heinz Sloan out of Mexico, who's very ill. If healing is meant to be, Lord, we ask that you perform a miracle. And if that is not meant to be, Lord, we ask for your comfort, your peace, that alone comes through you, Lord. May you bless and keep him, his family, and loved ones in your loving arms. Lord, we also pray for Eunice Wheeler, who's to have surgery this coming Friday. We pray for the surgeons. We pray for your hand of healing. We pray for your spirit of peace and comfort. Lord, bless and keep us all in your loving care. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, I'd like to give each of you a personal opportunity to pray and praise God for his love for you. And for those that are able, please kneel with me for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. In Matthew, in chapter 26 and in verse 30, it's recorded, you know, after Jesus' disciples had what we often refer to, the Last Supper, in verse 30 it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And so too, we today want to conclude our service by singing, please.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 220. All My Sins Have Been Forgiven. That's page 220. Let's stand, please.
Beautiful message and song, All My Sins Have Been Forgiven. We have just reminded ourselves of God's amazing grace, his redeeming love that provided salvation for each of us. We've come to the conclusion of our service, and I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayer support. It is felt, and may God bless you for that. Lord willing, this coming Sunday or next Sunday, we'll be having a service of thanksgiving to praise the Lord for what he has enabled us to participate in this morning. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Ye may now go in the peace of our Lord.